Hey everyone, Pastor Blake here. We are on day one of our Bible reading plan, and we are looking at Mark chapter 1 to kick off this year. So what we are going to do is we are going to give a brief overview of the entire chapter, just talking about some major points of focus, and then I want to close by taking one particular text or particular portion of the chapter and just kind of giving a devotional thought. And so that's how we're going to set up these audio recordings each day. So Mark just jumps right in. I mean, we are right in the middle of the action from the get-go. We get this little introduction, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the gospel, the good news, the euangelion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And right from the beginning, what he does here in this prologue in verses 1 through 13 is he gives us the preparation for the coming Son of God, the preparation for Jesus the Messiah. And there's no one more central to the preparation of the Messianic kingdom, of the Messianic ministry, than John the Baptist, the last Old Testament prophet. And what Mark does here is he sets up the ministry of John by showing how John's preparatory ministry establishes him not only as the final Old Testament prophet, calling in the Messiah who will establish the new covenant, but also that this preparatory ministry of John the Baptist was foretold itself. And so at the beginning, he actually strings together a couple of different prophecies from the Old Testament. And so I think a better rendering of verse 2, where it would be as it is written in the prophets rather than just Isaiah the prophet, though one of these prophecies does come out of Isaiah. So some of the prophecies he uses, Exodus 23:20, Malachi 3:1, Isaiah 43, all of these are coming together to give us this prophetic picture of a preparatory ministry that is going to usher in the Messiah. And the central aspect of this preparatory ministry of John the Baptist is his calling people to repentance. And his the baptism is a symbol which reflects the repentance which brings about the forgiveness of sins. And we know that the repentance aspect is what is the is so central here. It's one of the things that will actually carry into the view of Christian baptism is repentance. And we know that that's what's in mind here, this nature of repentance, not necessarily the baptism as being some effectual sacrament as actually washing away sins, but rather the confession, because it says that all of Judea and Jerusalem were coming out to John to what? Confess their sins. And so repentance really is the key. Repentance is what is preparing people for the coming Messiah. And so John is out in the wilderness, this common meeting place where God meets his people. It's going back to Exodus there, an allusion to that. And then John really lays it out, right? I am not the one. I'm not the one to look for. I am preparing for the Messiah, one who is coming, whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. And he promises, right, that this Messiah is coming to do so much more than just establish new rituals. He's not coming just to baptize. He is coming to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He is coming to inaugurate the Messianic kingdom, which the pouring out of the Holy Spirit symbolized. Right? And so he is coming to bring the Holy Spirit, to usher in the Messianic kingdom, to usher in the new covenant. And so we see this preparation ministry of John the Baptist. And then here on the scene arrives Jesus, the Messiah. And he comes to John and he goes to be baptized in order to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. And this is where Jesus' baptism is so important, right? Because he's baptized, and then immediately after his baptism, right, we see this beautiful display of the Father proclaiming that Jesus is his Son, the Holy Spirit ascending upon him, declaring that he is the Messiah, the anointed one of the Spirit. Immediately we're told that the Spirit drives him to the wilderness to be tempted. And so he's baptized, and then he's immediately driven to the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights where he's fasting, he's not eating, and he is tempted and he overcomes temptation, right? And this is so central to the beginning of the ministry, because though Mark gives us this very abbreviated account. It is so central because what the baptism and the temptation of Jesus are doing for us is they're showing us that Jesus is the fulfillment of the righteous requirement of the law. The fullness of the law is being absolutely met by Jesus. He is the substitute who takes the place of his people, so he enters in a baptism of repentance with us, that he is becoming like one of us. He is taking our place. He is entering where we are to enter. He is the faithful son. He is the faithful Israel. He is the one who is perfectly obedient, and he is the one who does not succumb to temptation, just as Adam did in the garden and just as Israel did. Jesus does not falter. He is perfectly obedient till the end, and because of that, he can usher in what the first Adam could not, and that is a righteous humanity which will dwell forever in the presence of God as a kingdom of priests, reigning and ruling with God in glory. He is alone is going to be able to bring that because of his perfect faithfulness and perfect obedience. And that's what these pictures of baptism and temptation at the beginning are already showing. And the fact that Christ defeats Satan there in the wilderness, this kind of duel in the desert, because Christ overcomes him, this is really a foreshadow of where it's all going. Satan is going to be defeated by Jesus. And then the ministry begins. And how does it begin? Verse 15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel, the good news. Jesus has come. The ministry of preparation has now been completed by John the Baptist, and the kingdom of God is at hand. And how is the kingdom entered? It's entered by and through faith in Jesus Christ, repentance and belief in him, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the ministry of Jesus begins. And it begins by him first going over to the Sea of Galilee, and he calls the first of his disciples, Simon, who we will know as Peter later on, Andrew, his brother, and then the sons of Zebedee, James and John. He comes to them and he calls them to follow him, and they immediately leave their nets, we are told, by this beautiful picture of Christ calling and they following. They leave everything behind. That's the picture of discipleship, leaving everything behind to follow him. And what is remarkable is that what is going to be a symbolic picture that the kingdom has truly come. And Isaiah 35 says that the kingdom will come because the Messiah will be casting out demons. He will be healing the sick. He will be cleansing the leper. He will be causing the lame to walk and the blind to see. And so what is exactly the first thing that Jesus begins doing after calling these disciples? And the answer is casting out demons, healing people, cleansing the leper, and he's teaching with authority. And that's the picture of Mark 1. That's the picture of all of Mark. Christ came, the Son of God came, the Messiah came with authority and with power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation in Jesus Christ. And we will continue to see that power as we carry into tomorrow his continual ministry throughout Capernaum. I want to close by simply looking back at verses 17 and 18. He says, and Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Jesus calls, and they follow. Just like that. But we shouldn't be shocked. Because when God speaks, things happen. Just as in the creation story in Genesis, God said, let there be light, and there was light. You see, Jesus isn't looking for short-term volunteers to be disciples. He calls us to full, life-changing commitment. And when he effectually calls you by name, that is the voice of God calling you. And when the voice of God speaks, things happen. Jesus is calling his followers to be all in. Are you all in? I pray that you will be. Leave the past. Let go of the sin. Turn to Jesus. Live for him. And be fishers of men, proclaiming the gospel to all. Jesus Christ has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. God bless.